720 WGN. John Landecker, thanks for tuning in. 736, One Day at a Time. One of the great programs available on Antenna TV. And every once in a while, we like to check in with our neighbors down the hall. Todd Mensch is here. He's been on before. He's one of the producers at Antenna TV. And they have a series of podcasts called Nostalgia Stories. And when a new month comes rolling around, as one will soon, there's a new lineup of some really cool people. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir? Just to clarify, by the way, we no longer have One Day at a Time. Unfortunately, it's not on
you
Antenna.
Don't?
No, we did for a while, but it is not on.
But you do have her on a podcast.
We interviewed her back in the... Yes, we do. She was a great interview, by the way. We met her in Burbank. She was another talker. Shot her one question, and she just kept going. She was great. Really, really nice lady. So,
do you want me to play a part of that podcast or no? Now that
She was a great interview. Sure. She's well known. We had it for the longest time. I don't know what happened. We don't have it.
Well, One Day at a Time. It wasn't One Day at a Time.
I know. I know. One of the best theme songs ever. By the way, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it is a good one. So I think the clip here is her explaining what made that show so special.
One Day at a Time was groundbreaking, and it was a very special show. I think what set us apart was that we were addressing a very underrepresented huge slice of the population, single mothers. And in 1975... that was still sort of like, I don't know if we want to talk about that or not.
Right. And there's more, and you can hear that on the podcast at Nostalgia Stories.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, right now we have, who is it? I totally forgot who's on. Yeah. Oh, we have Max Gale from Barney Miller, which is on Antenna TV, by the way.
MTV.
Yes, very Detective Wojciechowicz. He is on there now, and coming in June, we'll have this round of Nostalgia Stories for you to watch.
So what about the podcast, though? I mean, you don't just confine yourselves to the television personality.
No, no. We have many.
I think there's a conversation with Lou Gramm from Foreigner, right?
This month, coming up in June, we have Mike Reno, the singer from Loverboy.
Oh, from Loverboy. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And Scotty Morris, the founder of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, if you don't remember the big band resurgence in the 90s. He is the founder of that band.
No, I don't know the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
You guys were
all over the place.
Yeah. He was there was a...
I mean, as far as personalities are concerned.
Yeah. 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 He was a great interview, too. He started out in L.A., during the whole like grunge scene, and he kind of melded the big band sound from the 40s with punk, and he had the opportunity to be in the movie Swingers, which was directed by Jon Favreau, and took off from that. And he has a really good story. He actually played in the 1999 Super Bowl halftime show with Stevie Wonder, and he said it was like,
as in what capacity?
He opened for Stevie Wonder. They did their song, and then they cut into a big band version of Sir Duke, which he describes as like,
which of course would
segued
like
right into
big band version,
right? Yeah, and that segued right into Stevie
Duke Ellington.
Yeah. Right. And I've actually seen the show in a period of time where his halftime shows were terrible. It was one of the good ones. So it's a really great interview, and that'll be coming up next month. And then
do you have a list there of other editions?
I have everybody here
that are coming next month.
So again, we have Mackenzie Phillips from One Day at a Time, Julie Cooper,
One Day at a Time,
Mike Reno from Loverboy. Yeah. If you don't remember,
Loverboy.
Working for the weekend, Turn Me Loose.
Oh, not only that, Turn Me Loose, and also one of my favorite words, The Kid Is Hot Tonight.
Yes,
but where will he be tomorrow?
Yes. Known for their red leather pants, which he talks about how why they don't wear them anymore, which is a great story.
I can answer. I don't even have to ask that question to know the answer.
Well, if you,
how old
you
are
will,
they now?
I could 80s something. Quite frankly, I couldn't tell you exactly. They did open for Kiss. It's a great story with that.
Yes.
That was kind of how they kind of broke ground with Kiss. They were one of the few. He talks about how most bands that opened for Kiss kind of fell off the face of the earth, and they were the ones that lasted. And they also they won a ton of awards back in 83. That was like their big year.
Yeah, I worked in Canada for a couple of years in the early 80s when they were red hot. And needless to say,
they're huge.
In Canada, and they're from Canada, any band that's a hit, you know, in the United States is revered more than usual by the Canadians because they have penetrated the culture of the neighbor to the south.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they have sort of a chip on their shoulder, maybe so bold as to use that expression. When I worked on the station there, and it was at, I don't know if they still do this or not, but every music station across Canada, they had this rule from their version of the FCC that was called CanCon. And I forget exactly what percentage of every day's playlist had to include a certain percentage of music that qualified as CanCon. Now, obviously, back in that day, you know, it'd be easy. Ann Murray, Guess Who, Lover Boy, Gordon Lightfoot, you know, Nicolette Larson, the list goes on and on. But it would also include if it had a Canadian producer or if the song was written by a Canadian or, yeah. And it made for some very interesting programming, and I heard some songs that I'd never heard in my life before, and some of them are really, really good.
If we have time, I actually know a story about, so that kind of segues into, so do you remember?
We have time.
Excellent. Do you remember SCTV? The sketch show from Canada.
Absolutely.
So they also were under those requirements. And devised a way around it by developing the characters Bob and Doug McKenzie to fulfill that agreement. So that's why Bob and Doug McKenzie are around, is to fulfill the Canadian content that they had to put into their show. That's exactly where it began.
What an ironic story that is.
Yes.
Because Bob and Doug McKenzie went on to be, in their own right,
one of my favorites. The Canadian Blues really Brothers, successful. I guess you could call them, sort of, in a way.
Well, sort of, yeah. I had the opportunity to meet them a couple of times when I was up there, and they were great.
I was actually dressed as them as Halloween one year with one of my friends. So
which one?
I don't remember which one, I was. It didn't matter at that point. So we just dressed in parkas in the middle of October, and I'm sure it was like 70, and we were dying.
How old were you?
Oh, God, I was probably like 10. Yeah. I was ahead of my time, I guess you could say.
That was that's a very creative choice.
My best friend, Steve Estepan.
Yeah.
He and I wandered around the streets of Oak Park dressed as Bob and Doug McKenzie for Halloween. So maybe that'll be a podcast, put in our podcast. We'll talk about that.
Let me see if I can. You know, as people can tell, I'm flying by the seat of whatever pants I have on. And taking a chance on, no, never mind. I have a song by them, but I thought I had some personal recordings, but no, I do not. Oh. We're gonna take a break. I'll be back on 720 WGN. Bring back memories, Todd. That
I own that album, and on that song, another Canadian favorite, Geddy Lee.
Lee of
of Rush.
Rush, of course. How could I forget?
Yes, he is on that record. So,
what's your affinity with the Canadian thing? You're not from Canada, are
you? No, I'm from Oak Park. I guess I like Canadians. I don't know. You know.
No, there's no. I love Canadians, but I never heard that story. That was an intriguing story that you told me, that they put Bob and Doug McKenzie up as a way to counter the Canadian broadcasting rules of having CanCon, a percentage of their programming be Canadian content. Now, it wouldn't matter, of course, if it was in Canada, though, would it? But since it came to the estates, it would have to have. Oh, wait a minute. I don't even know. No,
who knows what
right.
the fulfillment
that
is.
That can't be right.
I know.
But the thing is about Bob and Doug McKenzie is the stereotypes, the Canadian stereotypes that they portrayed or made up. If they made them up, then they became Canadian stereotypes, like, you know, how you do an A, and wearing a toque, and I can't remember all of
there
them.
There are
now,
many
but
now,
you know
but
saying.
There's yeah. a show called Trailer Park Boys, which I think puts the fear in more fear in Canadians than Bob Doug McKenzie ever did. If you've ever seen that show,
I have not.
It is a very, provocative. I guess you should say it's not for the faint of heart. It's right. hilarious though. If you ever watch it, it's a very, very, very good show. But it definitely mocks Canadian culture.
What album was the 12 Days of Christmas Bob and Doug McKenzie on?
It was all on the same one. It was called the
all
Great
the
White North.
One.
Yeah,
Great White North. Right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, there in itself is one of the stereotypes. Great White North.
That was a massive hit too. I remember that record went gangbusters.
And Geddy Lee's on that too.
He's on that.
And that too.
The 12 Days of Christmas is hilarious. By the way,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I forget.
And beer, and beer.
Yeah,
and
they
beer,
they play
and beer.
They play Beer Hunter, quote unquote, where they play Russian roulette, where they take a 6-pack of beer and shake one up and then hold one over their head on the record. Yes. It's one of my favorite records. I think I owned it on vinyl. I think I destroyed it because I was a kid when
that
played.
Todd.
Yeah.
Do they know this over there at Antenna TV about you? Do they know?
I throw them curveballs all the time, trust me. So, but
you know,
I have very random, bizarre knowledge of weird stuff. So, yeah.
Well, that's very important. That makes for a well-rounded individual.
I guess so. But
knowing
talk to my therapist facts, about it. We'll see.
Knowing a bunch of obscure things about a bunch of different things is like very cool. Because you never know when you're going to be able to access it.
I'm terrible. I'll like go out down these rabbit holes on the internet with just the dumbest things you could possibly imagine. So, yeah. So, but no, I just personally, like Bob and Doug McKenzie, that was huge when I was a kid.
Yeah,
huge.
Yeah.
It was like the Bluth. It was like one of those things you weren't supposed to listen to. You know, like one of our shows, Benny Hill, which is one of my favorites.
I love Benny Hill.
Got into trouble whenever we watched that. We got caught watching that show.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I might add, although I'm no prude, that Benny Hill did push the boundaries of quote unquote taste at that time.
Yes.
In history, so to speak.
It was very blue, and that was very...
And sexist.
Yes, it was. But as for comedic genius, definitely. I mean, the sight gags and the limericks he did and just, I mean, to this day, like just the sight gags. Like when he spanks that guy on the top of his head, I still laugh.
See, there you go. I'm just spanking a guy on the top of his head. Right there is an image that... I could see could cause some controversy.
Well, Carson, which is on Antenna TV, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Was desperate to get him on the show for years, and he refused to do it. He was a bit of a recluse.
Do you know why he wouldn't do Carson?
He was a very weird, very... he just was not somebody who liked to be out in public. He was very shy.
How odd.
When he died...
Considering his TV persona.
I know, it was very out there. But when he died, they said they were finding like uncashed checks in books all over the place. And like he lived in the same apartment that he didn't live beyond his means whatsoever. Yeah. He was a very, you know, frugal, very quiet, very shy, very private person and a bit of an eccentric. So,
to say the least.
Yeah, but and Carson famously wanted to get him on The Tonight Show, or pardon me, Johnny Carson, he wouldn't do it, which is unfortunate. You know, that would have been a huge moment for Johnny Carson.
The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, I love it. I watch it all the time on Antenna TV. It like,
Whenever I tell people where I work, they immediately Johnny Carson.
Say,
oh my god!
Yeah, not only because of the guests, but it takes you back to Carson's whole mannerisms. You know, and, you know, the thing flipping with the pencil and, you know, the double take face and, you know, The Great Karnak.
Yes.
Where he holds the envelope to his head, and Ed McMahon almost sort of jumps in with the answer.
Yes.
Before he's supposed to. I mean, that's, you know, classic stuff.
Well, a lot of it about Johnny Carson was that he was kind of an ideal for men at the time. He dressed perfectly. He was funny. Yeah. You know, he was in charge of the show. I mean, he was like, you know, a symbol at the time. And then he was the last bastion of like that old like
Hollywood
Rat Pack kind of Vegas style, like, and what I loved about this, another thing about Johnny Carson was I didn't get in trouble watching Johnny Carson because my grandma would let us stay up late and watch him with her because she loved him. She loved him.
Yeah, you know, if you were in a different time zone, that didn't come on until 11:30 at night.
That was late for us. Yeah. So, like, whenever we stayed at grandma's, we knew we could stay up late and watch Johnny Carson with her. And it was always a treat. But the thing about that show is it just, it's formulaic and it has its platform, but it would just fly off the rails at any given moment.
At any moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think originally it was 90 minutes, and it was from New York, and then it went to Los Angeles, became 60 minutes, or maybe my chronological order is
so off. What happened was,
I knew you'd know.
it did get shorter, and then what happened was is they stopped selling cigarette ads. So they had to fulfill all this time, or all this ad space, so they lengthened the time of their late night showings. So, and then Carson wanted to get shorter because it was hard doing that long of a show. Like a 90-minute show was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And that's what birthed those I think it was Schneider after that.
Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder.
Right. And then that became Letterman and everything like that. It was because they lost that cigarette ad revenue.
You know, and they smoked on The Tonight Show.
They did.
Carson smoked on the set.
He famously said he hit it, I think, after a while, because I think you weren't allowed to actually show smoking after a while, but he hit it because he was a famous smoker. That's what killed
him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Surratt and I were big fans of Tom Snyder and The Tomorrow Show, and Snyder came to Chicago to do, I guess he had a syndicated radio program too, and did it out of one of the local stations' studios, and we went over there and watched him do it. He was definitely a different character too, Tom Snyder. Who carries the Tomorrow Show? Does anybody?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, he came back and did CBS after when Letterman took over. When Letterman switched.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was on after Letterman for a while. But my favorite with Tom Snyder is Kiss. You ever seen that?
No.
He interviewed Kiss one time when Kiss was huge. And,
right.
They did not behave themselves. So YouTube that one these days.
Kiss
with Tom Snyder. Yeah.
So, Todd, is there anything in the minute we have left that you would like to add about TV and coming up in nostalgia stories or whatever?
So, I did not mention, along with Scotty Morris, Big Buddha Daddy, Mike Greener of Loverboy, and Mackenzie Phillips of One Day at a Time, we also have Leslie Easterbrook, who played Sergeant Debbie Callahan in the Police Academy movies, was also famously in Private Resort, the movie with Johnny Depp when he was like 4 years old. I'm just kidding. He was very young in that movie. She talks about shooting Police Academy. She was also in Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
She talks about that, which is really good. She was a great interview as well. All these people, I got to pick them this month, and they were all some of my favorite interviews.
And these are all nostalgia stories. That's what it's called.
Yes, sir.
Podcast.
Our podcast on WGNradio.com. Or you can go to Intended TV's Facebook page, and we post them every Monday.
Thank you, Todd. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
I appreciate it, sir. Glad to be on, and I look forward to being back on with you.